This is actually an executive order designating the cartels and other organizations to be foreign terrorist organizations.
And that's a big one.
Yes, sir.
People have wanted to do this for years. So they are now designated as terrorist organizations, foreign. And Mexico probably doesn't want that. But we have to do what's right.
Their influence reaches right up into DHS, all the way to Congress. There are so many people on the payroll, I'm told, after my visit down to the border. It's frightening.
American officials on the payroll of Mexican drug cartels.
Yeah.
This is what they hope the public never figures out. This is the real evil that Trump has shut down. That's real. And that's a win. And we should take the good things Trump is able to do and celebrate those. And when he goes the wrong direction, put pressure on him, he's going to go back the right way. I'm not black-pilled. I'm not white-pilled. I'm victory-pilled. I'm reality-pilled. I'm engaged.
My organization, ODNI, our national counterterrorism team, we're playing an integral role in this and establishing for the first time a national intelligence fusion cell. Why this matters is because it allows us to take the intelligence that we're collecting, foreign intelligence. It allows us to work with our federal, state, and local law enforcement, those who have their boots on the ground, on the front lines of this operation, to make sure that we're getting real-time intelligence and information going.
How do you know that your partners in Mexico are truly partners when we know that Claudia Sheinbaum, for example, is an ally of Nicolas Maduro? It's every action she's done in the last few months proves that.
It's a legitimate question, of course. This is something where we're looking at how we can vet as much as possible, both with the information that we have available, but also through the relationship building that is going on at the lowest level.
Much to the chagrin of a whole abhorrent industry of child trafficking that prospered from the open border policies of the Biden administration for 4 years, 2021, 22, 23, and 24. Much to the chagrin of these people that made bank, man. We're coming after them. And this executive branch is building criminal files. So I hope they're watching, and I hope they're frightened, and I hope they're getting their affairs in order, hiring their liberal attorneys to defend them, starting to shuffle their money around. We'll find it.
A cartel banner was discovered in Los Cabos, Baja California Sur, reportedly signed by La Chapiza, a fraction of the Sinaloa cartel linked to Los Chapos. The message, which was quickly removed by the authorities, contained direct threats aimed to U.S. officials and American citizens residing in the area. According to preliminary information, the banner specifically named FBI Director Cash Patel, the President of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, and Mexico Security Chief Omar Garcia Harfuch. The text warned of a wave of violence against American tourists in retaliation for the seizure of several illicit shipments in recent days. The message further stated that every American citizen who resides in Cabo San Lucas and San Jose del Cabo, it is being targeted, declaring, "We are the ones who call the shots, and we are the ones in charge." Authorities removed the banner swiftly to prevent widespread panic among the local community and the large American population living in Los Cabos. If it is confirmed, this will be the mark of the first publicly posted cartel threat against FBI Director Cash Patel on Mexican soil by the organized crime and the cartel.
The arrest of a Sinaloa cartel boss, El Plato, another dangerous Sinaloa cartel member responsible for tracking a huge amounts of cocaine. The arrest of a CJNG cartel-affiliated baby trafficker called La Diabla. Her whole money-making operation was centered around luring pregnant women, performing illegal C-sections, harvesting organs, and selling newborn babies.
And they'd be handing Hispanic babies to Eastern European men, African black men who couldn't even speak English. And it turned out, of course, upwards of 80% were not their families, weren't even their same culture. And yeah, this is CIA contractor smuggling kids. I mean, look at this little girl. My God.
We'll be right back, folks. simple traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWar.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour is on. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have a special dispatch from Alex Jones minutes ago. You can find this on his X account, at Real Alex Jones. Breaking exclusive, the Biden administration's illegal Arctic frost surveillance program targeted not only GOP U.S. senators, but also members of the Trump administration and talk show host Alex Jones. We're learning more about this by the minute. We have some breaking reports from Catherine Herridge that I want to go to on the other side. But first, here's Alex Jones responding to the fact that his name is mentioned in this surveillance docket published by the House GOP Oversight Committee earlier today. Here it is.
It is the evening of October 28th, 2025. And here at the InfoWars embattled headquarters in Austin, Texas, we just learned that the House Judiciary Committee just released documents from the Arctic Frost criminal globalist dragnet against President Trump that I was one of the central targets to be taken down, not just the U.S. senators. We're about to reveal this treasonous information right now. Well, the head of the House Judiciary Committee, just about an hour ago, released documents he got from Senator Chuck Grassley's Judiciary Committee that proves that Jack Smith and the Democratic Party had a giant illegal dragnet in Operation Arctic Frost, not just on nine U.S. senators and House members, not just on Trump, his family, and his lawyers, that's totally illegal, without even warrants, but on journalists like Alex Jones. In fact, I'm the only journalist listed on there, and they talk in the documents about how they couldn't get it through a subpoena because we blocked that, but they got my phone records through a civil lawsuit, which the Justice Department has already been caught previously running. Total, complete violation of rights, conspiracy against rights, absolute violation of my civil rights. Incredible. So here's the Arctic Frost investigation, now being exposed by Senator Chuck Grassley, one of the biggest scandals in U.S. history. Biden FBI spied on eight, it's now nine, Republican senators as part of Arctic Frost investigation. Grassley oversight reveals. Merrick Garland, Chris Wray signed off on Arctic Frost probe. The target GOP group spied on senators. Documents showed. And here are the new documents that have been released. And they say a lot more is coming. So much of it is blacked out. But when you get deeper into who they admit that they were illegally spying on, Alex Jones's cell phone, Patrick Cipollone, White House counsel, spying on the president's lawyers, totally illegal. John DeSanto, senator, it goes on and on and on. James Fitzpatrick, Sarah Hall Clay Lee, that's the name of their lawyers. Andrew Hitt, Wisconsin Republican Party chair. Greg Jacob, counsel to Vice President Pence, deputy assistant to the president. Total spy dragnet. Deputy White House counsel, Patrick Philbin. Robert Senators, director of Election Day operations in Georgia. And it goes on and on. Another senator, Judy Ward. Their lawyer, Jim Clancy. And then the law firms of the Republican Party and Trump spying on all of them in live time, using back channels to get a copy of my cell phone. This is what these people are up to. I am honored to have been targeted by these people. And, of course, they never indicted me for J6. I was there trying to stop people going in the building. Trump said peacefully march the Capitol. We had a stage set up, and the Fed's erection, the FBI director got caught lying about, had 274 FBI agents there helping foment the riot. And so now this has all come out. I'm really proud of our reporter, Brianna Morello, who broke this hours before Jim Jordan even released the information. She got it from his House Judiciary Committee, again, who got it from Senator Grassley's committee. And we're told a lot more is about to be released, a lot more revelations. We have Secretary of State Marco Rubio coming out. Of course, there were 12 names the State Department was secretly targeting. I'm on that list. I mean, this is quite the story. But why were they targeting me? Because they know I understand their blueprint. They know I've rallied tens of millions of people for the cause of America. And if they can shut me down, they believe they can shut down everybody else after me. They need to silence me. They need to put me in prison so they can then misrepresent me and build straw men. I can tell you, we already have lawsuits going against these people, but now we have serious conspiracy against my rights, violations of process, absolute total government racketeering, and we are going to be taking legal action against this. But imagine what more is going to come out next. This is a government weaponized against the American people. This is the type of garbage we're talking about with the DOJ and private law firms, with the Congress and Democrats working to weaponize the entire system and try to destroy people that simply speak out with free speech against them, who are trying to lower an iron curtain of tyranny down over Washington and the rest of the United States. And these very same law firms that have been running all of this and they got their fake hearings and their fake courts and their fake judgments and judges that find me guilty and have HBO-produced show trials know that the clock is ticking. Guess who else has been targeted by Operation Arctic Frost? Ed Martin, a former U.S. attorney, now the head of Trump's government weaponization task force. He's being targeted by all of this because he's willing to stand up for the American people. So stand with us, ladies and gentlemen. Justice must be served. Jack Smith is a major target now for his criminal activity, very close to being indicted like Comey and like Letitia James and, of course, John Bolton. But a lot more is coming. This isn't about vengeance. It's not about retribution. It's about justice. If we don't expose this giant criminal operation and if we don't punish those that ran it and did it, John Brennan was the kingpin under Obama and Hillary, then they're going to continue to do this in the future. And they've pledged to continue this in the future. And that's why they've shut the government down. That's why they're cutting off the EBT money in a hope that they can trigger a civil war, but America sees through it. God bless you all. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at the Alex Jones Network channel. InfoWars has a receiver put over it by the Democrats, by their judges. We're very close to being shut down. It could be imminent. But regardless, we'll continue on the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X, and you'll find the newest network and all the stuff we're going to launch at Real Alex Jones. So be sure and follow us there, because remember, the bad guys want us off the air for a reason, because we're effective with the truth, and we've got their number, and they know that we represent the American people and that we are peacefully with the truth coming for them and their tyranny, dismantling it legally and lawfully. So again, as usual, I'm one of the central targets, along with White House counsel and U.S. senators, a very short list, by these people, because they know that we're telling the truth, and they know that if the truth continues to get out there, they're all going to go to prison. God bless you all. Now, please support us. Please pray for us. Please visit our shopping cart at thealexjonesstore.com for Patriot Apparel, the very best supplements, because that's what funds this operation so we can continue to fight on against these people and win. I've done my part. Now I'm counting on you for your word of mouth, your prayer, your financial support right now at thealexjonesstore.com. God bless you.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there today. Get ultramethylene red to combine with your ultramethylene blue. Go purple. Go all the way purple, folks. If you like methylene blue, you really should try methylene red. It's designed specifically to maximize the power of ultramethylene blue, and it keeps us on the air. It keeps us in the fight. And, you know, I know you've heard me say that every day for the last 5 years, but that's because it's true. And I maybe explained this too much, but in case you're new here, in case you don't know how this whole operation works, it's very simple. We deliver to you, and in turn, we ask that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. It really is that simple. Everything that we do at InfoWars is funded by you, by the audience, We don't have big sponsors. We don't have big funders. We don't have billionaires, you know, with us in their back pocket. We have you. And if you think we do a good job of delivering the news and telling you what the real story is and providing entertainment for 10 hours a day, at least, plus all the extra videos, plus all of the other content, if you appreciate that, then we ask you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. If you do, that keeps us funded. That keeps us in the black. We are able to build out more studios and create more shows and continue operation. If you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com, we go bankrupt, we stop producing, and we go away. It really is as simple as that. If you want us to be around, go to thealexjonesstore.com. If you don't, don't. It really is as simple as that. It's the most straightforward organization you could possibly imagine. We don't have promo codes with groups. We don't have pharmacy, you know, big pharma advertising with us. We have you, thealexjonesstore.com, infowars.com, band.video, and all of our social media. And as long as you support us at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, we'll be on the air fighting with everything we've got. And we hope that you appreciate it and find it worth it. And really, it's even better than that, because we could provide 10 hours of information and just ask you to contribute, but we don't even do that. We give you in return incredible life-changing supplements. We don't tell people to call in and tell us about their supplements, but I can't open up the phone lines without hearing about 15 different... I'm not complaining. I'm saying this like I'm complaining. No, it's just amazing. It's just amazing that every time we open up the phone lines, a dozen people call in about how their lives have been changed by the supplements. We don't pay them to do that, folks, because our supplements are incredible. So not only are you supporting this singular outlet, not only are you keeping us alive in you know, in a way, spitting in the face of all the people who are trying to kill us, but you also get an incredible product that would be well worth it at the cost, even if none of this other stuff existed. So in case you needed any more reasons, go to thealexjonesstore.com. You don't have to trust us. Trust our enemies. Trust our enemies. They're your enemies too. So if you want to defeat the people that hate you, that are trying to kill you, that are destroying your country and nation and trying to imprison you in a slave camp for the rest of your life, you should probably support us, because they hate us. Those people despise us and have spent tens of millions of dollars, rigged their own programs, violated their own laws. They have pulled out every stop to try to destroy us. But it doesn't matter. They can have all the offices they want. They can have all the big tech in their pocket. They can have all the, you know, NGOs trying to sway people from the ADL to the SPLC. They have all this giant power apparatus backing them up. But we have you, so we're fine, actually. Actually, we keep winning because we have you. And you're more powerful than all of them combined, as long as you decide to get active, get involved, make a contribution, or participate in whichever way you're capable of. We beat them every time. But if we lay down, if you put your shield down, if you give up, they win. It really is as simple as that. Everything we do is simple, folks. Simple, simple, simple. It's not, none of this is complicated. I was watching a video from a really fantastic creator named Chad Jackson, I think his name is. Chad O. Jackson, if I'm not mistaken. He does a lot of really great stuff about how Martin Luther King was a communist and how the whole civil rights movement was kind of a giant fraud. And I was watching one of his videos today, and he was just going off on the academic language of the left and how communists have terrible ideas, but the best words. They have so many words to say absolutely nothing. And he showed this clip, and I should have grabbed it because I'm not going to be able to recreate it as well. But, you know, the bad guys are the ones who are going to come up and say, it's like, I can't even do it. I can't even imagine the type of stuff they say. They get up and they're just like, the systematic representation of non-melanated individuals is, frankly, more robust than, and it's just like, what are you talking about? And at the end of the day, it's just like, black good, white bad. Like, that's the actual sophistication of their arguments. But they have to dress it up because they got to make themselves sound smart, so you'll be lulled into a false sense of security and go along with what they say, even if you don't understand it. We're simple. We just tell you direct. I don't have a teleprompter. I don't even have a college degree. I've got a bunch of stories and a brain that works and a love of freedom and liberty. And I kind of want to talk about that for a little bit, too. Because the word freedom and liberty is getting thrown around a lot these days by people that don't understand what it means or are using it cynically to trick people, more or less. There's nothing more shocking and bizarre than seeing a leftist protest waving the American flag. What? That doesn't make any sense. Or during the, you know, presidential campaign, during the DNC and RNC, seeing people at the DNC waving signs that say freedom. And it's like, you people hate freedom. You don't love freedom. You love using that word when it benefits you to trick people that do love freedom. It's kind of how they feel about democracy, right? It's like when I did the skit of the pitch meeting about the war in Ukraine, you know, there's part where it's like, oh, democracy, I love that word, right? It's just like, yeah, I just love the word. Huh, it makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Sure, bomb the children, you know? It's just like, well, democracy, they've invoked the word. Therefore, they get to do whatever they want. They do the same thing with freedom or liberty, where it's like, okay, you're talking about Ukraine. The president is not elected. He actually is systematically, actually, I have more stories about that if we want to get into it, about the way Zelensky is just systematically destroying all of the people that may oppose him once he allows elections again. Increasingly authoritarian Zelensky prepares for future elections by targeting rivals. After ousting Odessa head, now he sets his sight on Kiev mayor and former boxer Klitschko, I guess is the guy's name. So yeah, it's like, you don't actually believe in democracy. You're supporting a tyrant who throws his political opponents in prison. You don't actually love democracy. You don't actually love freedom. I don't think they understand what freedom is. They think freedom is the freedom to sin. That's as far as their interpretation goes. If you're allowed to look at porn and chop your tits off, you're free, according to them. If you're allowed to, you know, just break the law, steal things off the shelf, like that is to them freedom, the freedom to sin. That's what they think. Because in their conception, you have authoritarianism, fascism, which believes in God, which believes in an order to the universe, which believes in hierarchy, and therefore believes in personal responsibility to uphold these systems that make life worth living in the civilization that our responsibility has built. You have to actually be worthy of that. To the Democrats, these things are just all evil. If you're telling somebody not to do something that they want to do, you must be the bad guy. They've apparently never even thought about this for a little while. I mean, their arguments are just infinitely easy to destroy. But the point of it is, freedom are things that you might not immediately think of when you think of freedom. To me, family is freedom. Family's freedom because I know that if I say something or do something, it gets everybody in the world pissed off at me. I still know I've got a wife, I've got kids, I've got sisters, I've got parents, I've got cousins that are always going to have my back. Always. I don't care what you people think. I have my family. Why would I care about you? I have my family. That's freedom. The freedom to say whatever the hell I want and knowing that I have a secure community to go back to, because security is freedom. Security is freedom. Peace is freedom. As we were pointing out with the people who are making videos about how much safer Memphis is. And they're saying, I can let my kid play in our backyard and not have to worry. It's like, if your kid can't play in their yard, you're not free. You can't have peace or you can't have freedom if you're under threat. No, peace is a requirement for freedom. Order is a requirement for peace. And enforcement is a requirement for order. Therefore, in a kind of ironic way, law is actually a prerequisite for freedom. You see how this works? I don't know why people don't know this. I don't know why people can't figure this out. And they also, for some reason, can't figure out the outcome and the consequences of this. I've been cracking up at this picture the last couple of days. And we do have more stuff to get into, but this picture just cracks me up. Do we have my computer screen, guys? It says, your country on Democrats versus your country on Republicans. And it's just this propaganda cartoon that I find hilarious. And on the left side of the river, you got the Democratic community. And on the right side of the river, you've got the Republican community. Guys, do we have my computer screen, or should I put the picture? And of course, it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous. Obviously, you know, the right side of it is it's quickie payday loans, big evangelical, you know, televangelist churches. While on the left, it's a union hall and an arch that says art and an organic cafe with non-white people sitting outside. Isn't that lovely? Now, obviously, this is just, it's just a hilarious joke, considering all the big banks, all the big industry, all the big factory farmers are all dedicated endlessly to leftist ideals. I mean, but putting that to the side, I want to do just go through some of the responses to this, because they are exactly what you would expect. This goes super hard if you're 5 years old. Oomph, are you okay? Seamus, friend of the show, Freedom Tunes, says the scariest thing they can imagine for the Republican dystopia is needing to be a citizen to vote. Yeah, that's one of them. Vote here if ID approved. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, no. And then, of course, you can actually just post actual photographs of leftist cities to point out your country on Democrats. What else we got here? Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, in reality, and it's just a collection of, you know, your average day on the street images of leftist cities, you know, just trash, filth, chaos. So, like, they make cartoons incorrectly, inaccurately portraying right-wing cities as, like, filth and chaos. Meanwhile, leftist cities actually filth and chaos. Yeah, there's a person burning to death on the subway. Oh, we're just on our way to the city-owned grocery store. Need anything? Need anything from the city-owned grocery store as the officer walks right by? Great. Okay, so that's the reality. This goes super hard if you're retarded. This is only true in New England, which is a hilarious thing to say. Yeah, it's only true in the whitest areas in the country. Yes, the projects, well-known Republican strongholds, certainly. Here you have the community garden in the left wing versus the Chad's community garden, which really, this was the best it ever looked. That was probably the day it was planted. I'd never seen it look so good. I mean, it doesn't look good, but it looked a lot worse most of the time. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, LA. I could go on, but I think you get the point. How too liberal. You walk by the burning city and the muggings and the homeless people to tweet bad things about Orange Man. Other people just putting the actual stats. These are murder rates, I believe. Yeah, homicide rates per city. Every single one of them. Democrat, the top 30 in the list. Baton Rouge, Louisiana is the only one not Republican. So it's just, this is just, you know, one side lives in reality. The other side lives in their dreams. They live in their fevered imagination. Pictures of Baltimore showing the last Republican mayor in 1967. Now add blackouts on the left when there's no wind, a trillion Bomalians living in slums and fentanyl addicts in the street. And then this guy. Yeah, I've heard enough. Republicans get my vote. Hey, there's only one cyclist in the Republican side, and he's getting knocked by an SUV into the river. So we're good to go here. This was a nice area until all those whites moved in, said nobody ever. And then just the, you know, empty landscape of the burned out Palisade fire because of the combination of, you know, racism and incompetence and lack of seriousness all combined to create the perfect Democrat hellhole.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, final segment of the War Room today. I've got some more videos to show you, some more updates to some of the revelations from the House Judiciary Committee today. This is from Cleta Mitchell on X. She says, all right, kids, here it is. Released today by the FBI, nearly 200 pages of formally classified FBI documents posted today on the House Judiciary Committee website and proves that the state law cases with the fake criminal charges against President Trump, Trump lawyers, Trump electors, and supporters were not state-initiated at all. These were all proxies for the feds, the Biden feds, which is an important point, right? All of these cases were brought at the state level and presented as if they were independent investigations, inspired by the people in the states who had seen criminal activity and therefore launched their own investigations. That's not what happened. Actually, this was all coordinated and quarterbacked by the FBI, deep staters in the first Trump administration, as well as the Biden DOJ once they got the switch out. The FBI was with the blessing of the Biden DOJ and no doubt the Biden White House initiated and conducted the entire investigation of hundreds and hundreds of RNC Trump campaign employees, consultants, lawyers, supporters, all for the purpose of destroying the MAGA movement by prosecuting/persecuting not only the president, but anyone in his orbit. Look through the documents yourself. See the evidence. These puppet Democrat AGs in Arizona, Wisconsin and Michigan, not to mention your favorite disgraced slut, Fannie Willis and G for Georgia. Dang, Cleta, let us know what you really think. Disgraced slut Willis from Georgia. They were just the puppets of the Biden slash National Democrats who pulled the strings for the indictment on fake charges against Trump and Trump electors, lawyers, and supported. I do not want to hear one more word from these creeps and their sycophants in the left-wing media about Donald Trump being authoritarian. When in American history have we seen this massive all-of-government investigation of normal citizens who committed no crime but simply were supporting or were part of the opposition political party? Never, not ever. It is time to realize these so-called deep state criminal or these so-called criminal state proceedings were a mere proxy for the Biden White House slash DNC slash DOJ slash FBI, who concocted a plan to make sure Donald Trump never again could run for president and cripple the entire MAGA movement. There are hundreds and hundreds of victims in this massive conspiracy, and worst of all, it was inflicted on President Trump, the defendants in the Trump elector fake criminal prosecutions, and the J6 prisoners. We cannot let these creeps get away with this any longer. We need more pardons and more investigations and prosecutions of those who deprived hundreds of Americans of their constitutional and civilian rights. Do we need does this need to be a civilian case? Is that our mistake, is trusting the government to hold these people to account? Do we need a mass case here? A class action lawsuit of everybody mentioned in this suing for violation of their rights, because that's what happened here. Fourth Amendment violated, never accused of a crime, not allowed to defend themselves, not made aware of the warrant for this stuff being investigated. These are crimes. These are violations of our Bill of Rights. If you can't censor people because of the First Amendment, you can't spy on people because of the Fourth Amendment. This has to be adjudicated. This has to be tried, and these people have to be convicted in whatever way that needs to happen. Like, I don't care at this point. We don't need more investigations. We don't need to convince the American people this is the case. This is just the case. We know this is the case. We should act as if we know this is the case. These people need to be tried. And if it needs to be in a military tribunal in order to get good results, then that's what we have to do. You know, it's like if you witness a person that you know, like you witness, you know, whatever, Jim Baker. That's a real person, isn't it? Whatever, fake made up. You witnessed a man named Harry Potter killing your friend. And you know it, and you know everything that happened. You know your friend didn't start it. You know he didn't. It's just you were walking along the street one day with your friend, and Harry Potter came up and cracked him over the head with a sledgehammer. And then you go to court, and the guy gets off, and the guy, Harry Potter, doesn't get charged. Like, it doesn't really matter. You know that he's guilty. You know that he did it. And that's kind of how I feel like we are right now, is like we witnessed the crime. We saw it happen with our own eyes. We know how it happened, who did it, why they did it. We know it all. So now the next step in the process would be getting a judge to hear the evidence and a jury to find them guilty. But if the whole process is rigged, then we just need to kill Harry Potter in whatever way that we can. Right? You know, because where we are now, like in America today, if I saw my friend get murdered, I would try to stop the guy that did it, and I'd want him arrested and held to account and tried, judged, and convicted. But if we were in Libya, or if we were in, you know, Liberia, and that happened, I would just take justice into my own hands, because I wouldn't trust the system, I wouldn't trust the corrupt court system, and I wouldn't be satisfied with putting the, you know, fate of a person I know to be guilty in the hands of a court that I know to be rigged. And that's sort of the situation that we're in. We know these people are guilty. There's no argument they can make otherwise. In every step of the way, we know. And we've known for a decade. Just like we knew the Hunter Biden laptop was legit. Just like we knew Joe Biden was incompetent. Just like we knew Russia collusion was a hoax, just like we knew COVID came from a lab, we've known all of this, and we've been right the entire time. We keep telling people, we keep showing people, and then nothing happens. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? What do we need to do to get justice? What do we need to do to get people to start listening to us? How many times can we be right about everything? How many times can we go toe-to-toe in direct opposition to everything everyone else is saying and be proven incontrovertibly right at the end of the day? How many times does it take? Even Bill Gates is admitting climate change is a hoax now. Do you realize how substantially we have won in the real world? On the real battlefield in the minds of humanity around the world, we have won victories that I never would have imagined. I mean, do you understand how unbelievably massively we have defeated so many of their hoaxes? I mean, you understand, I said it before, if it was up to them, Anthony Fauci calls 2025 COVID year 5. To him, there's a new BC AD COVID, right? They wanted 2020 to be year zero in a new calendar. That's what they wanted. They wanted the Great Reset. They wanted the starvation. They wanted the mass shutdowns. And this is something that I've always sort of timidly or tepidly defended Donald Trump when it came to Operation Warp Speed. Because again, you know, people have this terrible memory. We at InfoWars, we were the first ones to identify what was going on. We were the first. Nobody got it before we did. Most people hadn't even heard of COVID. They didn't even know anything was going on in China. InfoWars was already telling you that not only was it going to come here, but it was going to be used as an excuse to mandate injections and that those so-called vaccines would be poison. We knew that in January of 2020, okay? We watched Operation Warp Speed in real time, and we told you why he was doing it. And we explained the pressures that he was up against. And by the way, he tweeted out about alternatives to the vaccine like 500 times that year. Hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibodies. If any of these things had been recognized by the CDC as a viable treatment, then it would have stopped the vaccine dead in its tracks. Trump, every time he got on air during COVID, he tried to calm people down. He told people not to panic. He told people not to lock down. He was convinced to go along with it for 2 weeks, which again, we understood because we said, look, this guy is the president of the United States. He has to listen to the experts that have been doing this. I don't want a president so, you know, cavalier that like when this unprecedented disease strikes, he's just like, yeah, screw it. I don't feel like doing anything. Like that was never going to be the case. That was never going to be how he reacted. And you wouldn't want him to react that way anyway. You'd want to be more aware. You'd want him standing up against this more. But they literally had to trick him. They literally had to trick Trump into going along with their program. But then, and we were watching it the whole time, we were pointing out that Trump was doing everything he could to reassure people to not stay locked down. Meanwhile, he's being impeached. Meanwhile, he's running for president for a second term. Meanwhile, the economy is tanking because of all of this crap. And yesterday or the day before, there was a video of Thomas Massie. Maybe the crew can find it. There's a video of Thomas Massie talking about how food scarcity from the pandemic is only now going to start being affected because some of this food supply chain takes like 3 years for interruptions to be felt. I'll drag it in here. It says clip 20. Because I want to play this because he's not intending for this to be an argument in favor of warp speed, but I think this actually should help reframe sort of how people think about this. Because like we said from the very beginning, the vaccine was going to come eventually no matter what. And Trump would not have been able to stop that, and it wouldn't have been a good political, you know, position for him to take to stop it in the first place. Because the media, the likes of Anthony Fauci and, you know, others in the government health industry had terrified everybody. They'd convinced everybody that they were going to die unless they got a vaccine, that they should stay inside their homes until they get the vaccine. And people were convinced of that. And there was nothing that Donald Trump could say to convince them otherwise. They wanted the vaccine, and they weren't going to go back to work until they got the vaccine. The vaccine was going to be produced. It was going to be released. Donald Trump couldn't have stopped it. And again, like I said, you wouldn't have wanted him to in the first place. I mean, how crazy would that have been? You have 200 million people in this country convinced they need a vaccine to survive. And Donald Trump would just be like, you're not allowed to have it, though. I'm stopping the vaccine from being released. Like, they would have just released it anyway. They don't need the president's permission to release a vaccine. They would have released it anyway. So you would have just impotently signaled that he didn't want the thing that was going to come out anyway. Like, think about the position he was in. Think about the position most of America was in. In InfoWars, we knew the vaccine was poison. We also knew there were other threats to be concerned with. Here's Thomas Massey talking about how COVID, I dropped it in there. It's under videos. It says 20. Thomas Massey explains how the COVID lockdowns are affecting grocery stores. It's also in the folder from yesterday. Let me know when you get that in. So we defeated COVID. We defeated climate change. Like, this is a surrender as far as I'm concerned. Bill Gates has officially handed his sword over. He has been defeated. He has been humiliated. And now he's changing his tune. Hell freezes over. Noted billionaire climate alarmist Bill Gates slams, quote, doomsday view of climate change in stunning new memo. They lost. They lost the argument. And they've decided that by screeching hysterically and panicking all the time, it's actually not convincing anybody. So now they've decided that in order to get their agenda move forward, they need to chill a little bit and be a little bit more casual about it. He published a 17-page memo on his website stating that the doomsday climate scenario that they'd been put, that'd been pushed by people like him and Al Gore, is wrong. What? No way. No way. That's funny because, you know, Germany just blew up two of their nuclear power plants this week. Do they know this? Have you told them? They're actively blowing up their energy infrastructure on the basis of your hysterical shrieking. So you might want to let them know before they blow up another one. Now, Gates praises the progress in lowering emissions and criticizes the most extreme climate alarmist for focusing too much on short-term emission goals. Yeah, we should send him to prison, too, actually, now that I think about it. Let's go to this clip of Thomas Massey again. I think this is inadvertently a pretty interesting argument in favor of Operation Warp Speed. Let's watch.
Yeah, I'm getting chill bumps because I remember that. I was pointing out that the supply chain for some foods is 3 years long and that what we were doing during COVID in terms of planting an apple tree, it's going to take 3 or 4 years for that, sometimes 5 or 6 years for that apple tree to bear fruit. And if during COVID you're paying people to stay home and not plant apple trees, you're affecting the price of apples 5 years from now. The same thing when you slaughter the dairy herd because they didn't have the facility. The school was closed and they couldn't redirect that milk because it was in cartons for school children, not for moms at the supermarket. So they destroyed dairy cattle, which were going to take 2 or 3 years to build back up. And so you had a lot of weird things going on during COVID, and we're still seeing the tail of that, no pun intended, right now.
So what would have happened if that lockdown had continued 6 more months, a year, 2 years? Like, what would have happened? That was the intention. Fauci calls this COVID year 5. They wanted us locked down for 10 years. What would have happened? What would have happened if you didn't have Operation Warp Speed and they slow walked the vaccine? Joe Biden gets office, maintains or even expands the lockdowns, and doesn't release the vaccine for 2 more years and keeps 90% of America locked inside their homes, not producing food for another 6 months or a year. Mass starvation. Mass starvation. And that was part of the plan. I don't like the vaccine any more than you do. I don't trust the vaccine, and I don't like that it was a necessary response to the full-scale, multi-front attack on humanity that was launched by the despicable scumbags at the CIA and the powers that be New World Order control grid. But it did save us from mass starvation and a complete total collapse of our economy that they were at, that they actually intended it to be. So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was an interesting video from Thomas Massey that sort of made me think about Operation Warp Speed in a different or, you know, more holistic way. I want to go to another video here. This is Michael Knowles. He just posted this, but I guess he's on Capitol Hill and he's talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, the lies of the left when they say both sides do this. Both sides are violent. Both sides call for violence. Both sides hate and destroy each other's lives. No, we don't. The right wing doesn't do this. And I've only ever talked about it once, but I have this thing where if I talk about something, I just don't ever want to talk about it again. It's like a topic like this. But there was specifically a guy named Jamie Kilstein. He was a comedian. And during the heights of the Me Too movement, he was one of the main ringleaders getting people canceled for saying the wrong thing. And then it came out that he had some Me Too situations in his past. So then he was then, or maybe he didn't. But either way, he got accused of something, and suddenly he found himself on the receiving end of the hate, receiving end of the cancel brigade. And he realized, oh, this hurts. Oh, this isn't fun. Is this what I'm doing to people? And later, he's giving an interview to Joe Rogan, and he's going, you know, I was just in this mode where we were canceling people, and we felt powerful, and I'd wake up every day, and every day I'd wake up, and it'd be like, who are we canceling today? Who are we going after today? But, you know, both sides do this. And it's like, I've never done that. Nobody on our side does that. Like, it's this crazy mindset where it's like American soldiers in Vietnam mowing down a village and being like, well, they're the enemy combatants. It's like, well, they're not even fighting you. They don't even know you're fighting them. You are literally just attacking innocent people who've done nothing and getting off on it and then justifying it by acting like both sides do this. We don't do that. I've never met anybody in the right wing who feels that way. I wake up every morning and just go, who are we destroying today? For one thing, we've never had the power to do that. So it's not even been an option for us. But do you think we would? Do you think that's the type of thing that Republicans would do on a daily basis? No. So these people are engaged in this heinous slaughter, just, you know, brutality after brutality against people that aren't even in a fight with them. But then they go, but this is normal. Both sides do this. No, we don't, you psychopaths. Here's Michael Knowles on Capitol Hill.
Suggested that we condemn political violence, which surely we must all do. But then he suggested that we not try to pinpoint exactly which side the violence comes from. This seems to me confusing and misbegotten, as one cannot solve a problem if one does not know where the problem lies. In light of the murder of my friend Charlie Kirk by a leftist assassin, I am gratified to see that at least some members of our federal legislature are now confronting the consistent and escalating pattern of left-wing terrorism in the country. Lest I be accused of partisan invective, on September 23rd, no less an emblem of American liberalism than The Atlantic magazine published an article, citing a recent study from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, admitting that the left is more violent today than the right. Less honest liberals, including members of Congress, continue to deny this fact. Democrat Congressman Seth Moulton, for example, reacted to Charlie's assassination by blaming the right. Congressman Moulton claimed that 3/4 of political violence in the United States comes from the right, while only 4% comes from the left. That claim struck me, as it probably does many of you, as suspect. So I looked into just a few recent examples that came to mind of prominent left-on-right violence. The Covenant School Massacre in Nashville, in which a trans-identifying shooter murdered Christian schoolchildren after outlining her ideological motivations. According to authorities, there was no ideological motive there. Go figure. The Black Lives Matter riots, overtly leftist demonstrations that left dozens of people dead and over $1 billion worth of property damage. Likewise, those fail to show up on registers of left-wing political violence. Even an attack by Antifa that targeted me personally, as well as conservative college students for our political views, appeared in official records and data sets as nothing more than obstructing law enforcement. It turns out the left commits relatively little political violence when you don't count the political violence that the left commits. I am here today to speak about that single illustrative incident. On April 18, 2023, I was invited to participate in a debate at the University of Pittsburgh on the topic of transgenderism. Before the debate, several hundred left-wing protesters gathered outside the student center, many dressed uniformly in black with face coverings. They lit the street on fire while burning me in effigy with a little Hitler mustache painted on my face. All because I hold the view, as most Americans do, that men cannot become women. Buildings in the area were placed on a soft lockdown. As the Pittsburgh Bureau of Fire put out my burning effigy, an Antifa operative named Brian DePippa, hiding behind his wife, Crystal, rolled two smoke bombs under police barricades. Attendees scattered while demonstrators chanted, "Fascists go home." DePippa then threw a lit firework into a group of police officers protecting the building. The explosion injured several officers, including severe and life-altering injuries to a female officer.
There you go, from Michael Knowles. It turns out the left commits relatively little political violence when you don't count the political violence that the left commits. Isn't that convenient? And let's not forget that the likes of protesters in Charlottesville in 2017 have been charged just this year with felonies for burning with the intent to intimidate because they had torches. So while the right wing is being sent to jail for literally peaceful protests because they burned a torch, and so they apply laws that are supposed to be for arson, meanwhile, the people actually trying to burn down historical buildings in places like D.C. are protected endlessly, and their crimes don't even count when listed out by the authorities that are supposed to keep track of this type of stuff. It's not just unequal, it's disequal, it's inverted. It is not just not true, it is the opposite of truth. When they say Republicans or right-wingers are the violent ones, could not be farther from the truth. And I hope you all recognize that. By the way, the thing that got me going, I didn't even mention the thing that got me going about talking about just the purpose of freedom. The reason I was thinking about it was because I was ignoring DMs that people were sending me trying to get me to do things or say things. And I was just thinking, what a brilliant freedom I have to say whatever the hell I want and not have to care about anybody else. Because I have InfoWars. I have the InfoWars audience. We have the AlexJonesStore.com. And as long as you support us, I'll say whatever the hell I want. Thank you for that freedom, InfoWarriors. I really appreciate it.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Kind of, I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before their hatch. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.